In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Holy God, our righteous judge, daily your mercy surprises us with everlasting forgiveness. Strengthen our hope in you, and grant that all the peoples of the earth may find their glory in you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you, O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning this people, truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace, but find no good. For a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord, our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the Nelson Valley will find a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will be seen in Zion. A reading from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Two men were up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How often have we heard the saying, there are two kinds of people in the world. Right? It's usually a good, sometimes humorous illustration that plays to our ability to easily accept the world and its peoples as binary, either or, black or white. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who do this and those who do that. Though my favorite joke is there are two kinds of people in the world, those who can count and those who can't. Right? there are three kinds of people in the world, I'm sorry. Those who can count and those who can't, right? That would be the one that, and I'm one of them, right? I can't count or remember a joke. So the parable we hear today are two kinds of people in the world. In this parable, we believe that we're hearing about a story of a righteous person and an unrighteous person. We also might think that to know which one is which on the surface. Because I'm sure when Jesus is telling this parable, it's easy to determine who it is. How many of us want to be associated with thieves, rogues, and adulterers? I mean, is the Pharisee really off base here? You might be aware, in Jesus' context, that tax collectors were seen as horrible people. They were traitors to their own people. So they were really despised by Jews, and the Romans didn't really respect them much as well either. One person in this parable is boasting, and the other is begging for mercy. Again, this doesn't seem so provocative, especially in our culture that has often associated religion and Christianity with being a good person. Who wouldn't want to be more like the Pharisee? And who wants to be a traitor like the tax collector? Because the Pharisee sounds great, the tax collector, not so much. And maybe in this parable, if we were to get a deeper introspection of what is happening, the tax collector is bringing with him the guilt of all the actions he has done, all the people he has essentially robbed of their money, all the people he's betrayed. But Jesus flips this all around. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, the tax collector, rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The reversal here is that according to Jesus, the sinner went home justified, as opposed to the righteous one. Not only do we experience a reversal here in this parable, but it's also a trap. It's a trap. How often, how many times have you heard this parable and said, thank God I'm not the Pharisee? How many times have you read the New Testament and said, thank God I'm not like the Pharisees? If you have, we all have fallen into this trap that Jesus has set up. Because in that instance, we are proving Jesus' point. In preparation for this week, I spoke of how we're all guilty as the Pharisee in the parable, particularly in a culture that can be very tribal and divisive. We might boast about who we think we are and thank God for who we are not. And God is inviting us to look at people and the world very differently. Jesus invites us to follow the way of the cross, and that should orient our lives, as some would call, to a cruciform way of living. One that pours our love and mercy out into the world. Perhaps we're not supposed to be judging who is truly the most humble in the parable, but come to the realization that our hope to receive mercy ourselves is in the one who humbled himself for our sake, which is Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, we don't know why people do some things that we might not understand or approve of. We don't know why people were led down a path to journey on in life, a path that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. We don't know where in their lives that they may have been a victim. We don't know the hard choices and decisions people are wrestling with in their lives. We don't know. And perhaps we're invited not to approach people with condemnation, but with grace, with understanding, with mercy. Even as Lutherans, human nature and our American culture, we kind of see people as being deserving or undeserving. Because we're products of our own culture, even though our theology tells us otherwise. The tax collector, some of us might hope, would get what they deserve in the end. But Jesus, in this reversal of our understanding and expectations, does not care about that. He doesn't seek to give people what they deserve based on what the world decides. Grace, as you've heard me say over and over again, is getting what we do not deserve. If you are a sinner, the one who has humbled himself to the point of death, only one person has done that, humbled himself to the point of death, even on a cross. That has justified us. He has justified us through that transforming love of the cross. Again, we should be humbled by God's mercy that is extended to us. Our actions and our works do not save or justify, but it's Christ's work and actions that have saved us. We may like those stories and illustrations where there are two types of people in the world. Yet we know that human beings are far more complex, right? Far more complex than the boxes and the stereotypes we like to place people in. And as Lutheran Christians, we don't like either or. It's both and. In the parable about two different types of people in the world, we know that we are both. We are the Pharisee and we are the tax collector. We are humbled by God and we are justified by God. We are saints and we are sinners. The good news is that God is gracious and merciful. And in response to that, what would it look like if we weren't consumed in boasting in who we think we are and condemning those that we're glad that we are not, but focused first and foremost in being more like Jesus? What would that look like if our energy was more in being more like Christ? We know that it would cause scandal in the world because it did for Jesus. In this reversal that Jesus poses for us here, what we would bring into the world is an outreach to those very people who the world says is undeserving. The thief, the rogue, the adulterers, and the tax collectors. Also you and me. Because we are made right with God through Jesus. And we're called to share that news with those people, those very people who the world has said are far off from God's love and are undeserving of it. And we say nonsense because we bring a kind of radical love, a kind of radical welcome, and a kind of radical mercy into the world to those that the world assumes is always going to be standing far off from God. This is our response to the love that we've received in Christ because we no longer stand alone. We're not seeking to do the right things for the wrong reasons, like you see the Pharisee boast about in the parable. Our trust is now in Jesus and not ourselves. Again, in our world, we admire people like the Pharisee who boast and brag about their accomplishments, which in reality, if you really take a deeper look at their lives, when people boast and brag at their accomplishments, they've also been dealt a pretty good hand in life that helps set them up on that path. None of us get to where we are by ourselves alone. Once we realize that, we know we are standing on solid ground because we stand with Jesus, walking in the way of Christ, trusting in our Lord who has shown us great mercy. The good news is that Christ, in Christ, no one is ever going to be far off from God. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Think about how radical that is. Think about how gracious that is. There is no sin that can never be forgiven. And not only do we totally abolish in Christ's name the worldly concepts, for the cross has destroyed score tracking of who deserves what in the end. That has been destroyed in Christ. And you know what else has been destroyed in Christ? Death. Death itself. So we are free to live gracious lives, bringing celebration out into the world. As we gather here for worship, we're oriented to the cross with the crucified and risen Lord in our midst through word and sacrament. We are fed, we are filled, and we are forgiving, knowing that we are going to be sent from this place to continue that celebration out into the world. So, beloved children of God, bring that celebration into the lives of people who feel far off from the love of God. May we share with them the love of God, that there is nothing that can separate them from God's love in Jesus Christ. They not only need to hear it, but they need to feel it. They need to feel it through the love that we share with them, through the relationships that we have with them, through the compassion that we give to them. In our world, we like to think that there are two types of people in the world. And using church language, we'll say there are sinners and there are saints. And in our world, some of the saints are worthy and other sinners are not deserving and they're far off. But as Lutheran Christians, we know the truth that we are simultaneously sinners and saints. And it is through the love of God, through Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself and died on the cross for our sake, that will ultimately destroy the sinner in all of us and make us righteous, bringing us into full communion with God, both now and forever. May that good news humble us. May that good news exalt us to live lives not consumed with our works and accomplishments, not consumed with judgment and stereotypes of others, but being imitators of Christ in the world. For in sharing the love of Jesus, we pray that all people would know that no one is far off from God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
in gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. God of mercy, you are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Inspire your church to serve and love all people with the unceasing grace you extend to us. Hear us, O God. For those in the ministry, Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Tanis, our presiding minister on Saturday, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all creation, you formed a world where even the sparrow finds a home. Preserve the beauty and diversity of all creatures with whom we share the earth. Lead us to protect all living things. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace, you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Rescue families and nations torn apart by violence and warfare. Unite all people toward common goals of reconciliation and peace for every person. Hear us, O God. God of hope, you stand with the suffering and give strength. Comfort your people filled with fear or anger, anxiety or shame. Bring healing to all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, especially Tracy, Kim, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Regina, the family of Stan Haycock, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, the family of Joyce Laughlin, Ella, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. God of restoration, you call us to trust in you and not ourselves alone. Make this congregation a community of humility and repentance, ready to encounter you in love and follow in your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke and their chaplains. Hear us, O God. God of eternal life, to you be the glory forever. We give you thanks for James of Jerusalem, Joyce, and Stan, all who have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, and now live with you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offer.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, remember the life our Lord offered for us, and believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen. Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Spirit.
Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of your great high priest, until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.